I'm Lindsay.
I'm Austin.
And I'm Joe from PopX Cast,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
This is Gemma Redgrave, and you're listening to Gallifrey Public Radio.
Welcome to Gallifrey Public Radio, a podcast dedicated to everything in the Doctor Who spectrum. We invite you to join us each week for discussions ranging from Hartnell to Capaldi and beyond. Your GPR staff are Jay Witten.
You see how clever I was there? You make that connection? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Keir Hansen.
Proactive. Reactive. Proactive. I'm making up words as I go here.
And Haley Malley.
Hey, that wasn't exactly what I was going to say at all, Jay. Thanks.
Oh, and
spoilers.
We do occasionally discuss recent news and rumors, as well as episodes that have already aired in their home territories. But don't worry. If we dip too far into the future, we'll give you fair warning.
Welcome to episode 223 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where we've got a killer idea for a show to bring to audiences this fall. But of course, being American programming, it's just a blatant pull from an existing British program. And we're probably going to have to skimp on the casting, because audiences are going to expect top-shelf special effects. So we've got to make cuts somewhere, and it's not going to be from the pyrotechnics or the CG department, you know? I am Jay, and with me in the studio this week, playing the part of my time twin, is Keir Hansen. How are you doing today, Keir?
Buffo, fantastic. Big bucks. Gonna love it.
And the cheap recasting of somebody much more impressive is Haley. How are you doing, Haley?
The book was better. Well, this week we're playing a game we can only call Recasting on a Budget. As just mentioned, the idea is to imagine what an American television studio would do with the Doctor Who franchise if they blew the budget on effects and had to resort to B or even C-list actors to fill the roles we know and love, and from an American talent pool and Canadian. Because as we all know, the BBC only has about 15 actors they use in everything.
Look, Benedict Cumberbatch. We threw this idea out there last week, came up with it kind of on the fly because it sounded like something very similar to a lot of the arguments that we get into around bars and things, as geeks often do. And as expected, it kind of blew up online, so we've got lots of listener contributions. We'll try to get mentioned in here as well. But we threw out a list of 10 iconic roles from both classic and new Who that we would want to see what would happen if you really didn't have the budget to get a really good talent in there. Now remember, this is recasting, so you're attempting, as Americans often do, to try and recreate the magic that was the original. So this isn't so much, you know, I'd really love it if so-and-so played this role. This is just a matter of we got to get somebody who seems like this other guy.
Yeah, we couldn't get Robert Downey Jr. is what we're saying.
Yeah, but you're trying to resemble the British casting as closely as you can. So this isn't necessarily dream casting, which is another conversation and another game we'll play another time, where, you know, if you really could, if money were no object and you really wanted to see the role done in a certain way, this is forced march casting. So the characters that we're trying to replace here, horrifically, would be, and this order really doesn't mean anything, it's just the way that they got thrown into the list here. So that we have the Ninth Doctor. We have Missy, specifically, not the Master, Missy, Sarah Jane Smith, Strax, Petronella Osgood, or Osgood, Josephine, or Joe Grant, our beloved Fourth Doctor, the Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart, Donna Noble, human, and the Sixth Doctor. So a couple iterations of the Doctor to play with, just because they're kind of fun personality types, and then a lot of supporting characters. So I'll ask you guys for your contributions. I've got some listener contributions to throw in here as well, which I think, looking over the list, probably trumps what I came up with. But Haley, I will give you the first shot at recasting the Ninth Doctor with a less than A-list talent.
Okay. Well, I had assumed, you know, they're doing this on a budget, so they're shooting in Vancouver. So everyone you're going to hear from me has been in, like, Battlestar Galactica or Supernatural or some other CW show.
Okay.
So starting with Ninth Doctor, they went with Tom O'Pinnicott.
Oh, okay. All right. He's, you're going, like, super sexy with that now. Because, what, he's, like, 6'15" something?
Yes.
All right.
His belly button's at eye level.
Just to you.
Hey, listen now.
One of these days, I'll share my my Tom O'Pinnicott urinal story with you. That's from Kineticon a couple years back. Anyway, Jay, Ninth Doctor.
All right, so I'm figuring somebody that can, you know, handle the you know, seriousness, but occasionally be funny and have that underlying anger thing going, but still isn't like a household name outside of the geek sphere. Hmm. Obviously, you got to go with Nathan Fillion.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's Nathan Fillion like 15 years ago, though.
I'm casting this as like in their like prime. Say in 2004.
Okay. Oh, and that brings up a very good point. Let me just make this clear, because this was something that a lot of people asked us, specifically within Facebook as well. We had a lot of times we were asked, do we want chronologically relevant casting? So that if you were casting a classic character, did you have to find an actor from that era? And just to make it easier or just have some more fun with it, I just said, you know, don't worry. You know, this show never really pays attention to anything chronological. So anachronistic casting was absolutely valid.
I mean, they're time travelers.
Exactly. So bear that in mind. I will say we had some pretty interesting contributions for the Ninth Doctor before I get to mine. I will give credit to Bert for coming up with one that I thought was actually a really on-the-nose casting, and that would be for Christopher Maloney from Law & Order.
Ooh, yeah?
Yeah. Really, almost physically very similar, too, to Eccleston. Had some kind of unusual ones. Bryan Cranston, thanks to Helen on Facebook for Bryan Cranston, but I would consider him A-list.
Yeah, he's A-list at this point.
Yeah, we don't have the budget for Bryan Cranston.
Maybe if you picked him before Breaking Bad.
Yes. Yes, coming off Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that. We also had Mike Sulko from over at our friends cast there, threw out Seth Gillum. And I thought about that. I'm like, oh, I don't really know about that one. I decided to go with Anthony Edwards from ER.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Green.
It was Dr. Green?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I thought that was...
Also known as Goose.
Yes. Yes, you are. You could go with Goose. All right. In which case, if he kept the mustache, he could be swappable for the Brig. But we'll get to that later. All right. Getting to Missy. Haley.
Well, I'm going to tell you my first choice, which you told me after I'd picked her that I couldn't pick, which was Lucy Lawless.
Nope.
Yep.
Yep. Kiwi.
She was a Kiwi, so I'm not allowed to pick her. So my backup was Rekha Sharma, who was Tori on Battlestar Galactica and recently was on the CW as an evil doctor.
That's true.
On the 100.
Yes, that's true. I got a chance to speak briefly with her. She's actually really, really super cool. We met her at LI Geek last year. Absolutely. A really, really talented artist, by the way. If you haven't seen any of her paintings, look that up. She's freaking amazing. Jay, who have you got for Missy?
All right, I might be riding the line on this one, because she has done some big budget movies, but I think right now is kind of more in the sphere of B-list actor.
Okay.
But I went with Famke Jensen.
Huh. Yeah, I can see the paycheck getting in the way of that one.
I don't know. I think now she's probably a little cheaper than she used to be.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You're not taking her right off of X-Men, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I decided I wanted to go with some folks who had a little bit more. I wanted to go with some good aspect of crazy and unpredictability, but some real likability too. So I couldn't narrow this down, but if I have to put it in some kind of order, my number one would probably be Joan Cusack.
Okay.
All right. Especially if you have most recently seen her in like Series of Unfortunate Events.
Yeah.
So she's pretty bonkers.
I could definitely see her playing the part, but she's one of those that kind of rides the line. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody called her A-list.
I will leave that to the listeners to decide on that one. So, press yes, press two for no.
I can't throw stones.
And I'm pretty proud of this, but I think she would probably definitely be out of my budget range, would be Angela Bassett.
Okay.
Especially watching a couple of seasons of American Horror Story. because she's likable, but she can play bug nuts crazy and still be, you know, endearing and sexy and everything all at the same time. So we had some great contributions, though. I will ask Jan Fennick from Facebook. She's part of she follows us. We see her at a lot of the at the regen events. She came up with Betty White.
God,
I'm going to rule that out because Betty White probably comes with a high price tag, Jan. I'm sorry. She's
Betty
A-list.
White is not only A-list, but she is a national treasure and cannot be.
Right.
No.
Same reason why Bert could not contribute Amy Poehler and Joel on Facebook could not contribute Courtney Cox. Their price tags are just a little too high right now. Although,
what was the last thing you saw Courtney Cox in?
Cougar Town.
Exactly.
Okay, wasn't that like.
That's like C-list. Come on.
I don't know.
Didn't that get canceled mid-season 10 years ago?
Well, here's some of the others here. So we got Christine Baranski, CCH Pounder.
Ooh, okay. I like that one.
It'd be kind of cool. Sherilyn Fenn and Jane Lynch. Jeannie Tostin.
Oh, geez. Jane Lynch. Jane Lynch would be...
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd argue against that as being an A-list actor, but
I don't think so.
Oh, what about, speaking of CCH Pounder and staying within Warehouse 13, help me out here. Who played H.G. Wells?
Jamie Murray.
Yes. Would you consider her A-list?
No.
No, because she's only been on, like, genre stuff.
Okay. Oh, but she's Brit. Never mind.
Yeah.
Ruled out. Okay. Game on. Third talent to replace. Our beloved Sarah Jane Smith. Jay, I'm going to give this one to you first.
Oh, geez. Okay. So... I went more for, I haven't seen too much of her work, but I know she can pull off like comedy, mm-hmm. which is, I think is a lot of Sarah Jane's appeal. And I kind of went for, you know, similar look for casting. So I'm going with Ellie Kemper.
Interesting. Okay. I think we had somebody else that actually suggested Ellie
Kemper.
Who was
Ellie Kemper?
She's in Bridesmaids. She was in The Office, 21 Jump Street.
Okay.
She's been
in a few.
I never watched The Office.
Gasp. No. It's okay.
Okay.
I really only watched the ones that Catherine Tate was in, so sorry.
Fair. All right, Haley, who did you come up with for Sarah Jane?
Okay, fair warning. I struggled a little bit with some of these classic character castings.
Okay.
But I went
especially
with
the ones that she hasn't made it to yet.
Nikki Klein.
Who played Callie on Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, yes. Actually, Julie suggested her earlier tonight. Yeah, so okay. No, that's totally legit. Okay. Some of the other contributions we got, Taylor from on Twitter suggested Molly Ringwald in her day.
I think that would be A-list.
That's true.
Yeah, at the time, yes.
When she was age appropriate, she was probably a higher price tag. Might not
right, fit. But if you were casting her as Sarah Jane Smith for today, like as an older Sarah Jane Smith, I think it would be reasonable.
Yes. Yep. Okay. From the Sarah Jane Adventures, I could totally see that. And here's a name that you're going to see pop up for a couple different characters. But Helen got back to us on Facebook and suggested Allison Hannigan, you know, Buffy, mm-hmm. or from Buffy. Okay, yeah, you know, the likability, the sweetness. Well, you know, before she went all, you know, crazy and everything. Bert gave us Marguerite Moreau, if you know her from Wet Hot American Summer. Interesting. You know, I looked over, I said, yeah, okay, I could see that. But not knowing too much of her breadth of work, I'm not really sure if she could fill the shoes of an iconic Elizabeth Sladen. I decided, and I was really happy with this, I originally had down Maura Tierney from like News
oh,
Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But I scratched that out immediately, and I'm going to throw the mic down on this one, Jewel State.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Both young Jewel... As our age appropriate Sarah Jane, and then Jewel now, as you see her out in the con circuit and doing her thing, and she could play a little bit older Sarah Jane too. I'm digging that one. So all right, Petronella Osgood. Jay, I'm going to give you this one first.
Okay, there's an argument to be made here that if we're going age appropriate, like current time,
yeah,
she definitely falls under the list of B-list actor at this point. You haven't seen her in anything major in recent years.
Okay.
But I seriously think Sarah Silverman would be perfect.
Ooh, I hadn't even considered her. I would love to see Sarah Silverman as Missy. just cutting people down is the most horrible things. Okay, I like that. I like that. Right. Haley, what you got?
Felicia Day.
Interesting. We had a couple listeners that said that as well. I would argue, I don't know if she's B-list. She's like,
oh, she is definitely B-list.
She only seems A-list to us because she is everywhere in nerddom.
That's true.
In just general, I'd say that she's still B-list.
In the Hollywood scheme of things? Okay. Yeah, because she was suggested, Helen on Facebook actually suggested her. We also had Allison Hannigan, Joel on Facebook actually suggested Allison Hannigan for that role, which I could see, throw a set of glasses on her and hand her a puffer. Mike Solko suggested Noelle Wells. We had Louise Brealey, who is not a name I'm terribly familiar with. That was Jeannie's contribution. I'd have to look up and find out exactly. Why does that name sound so familiar to me? B-R-E-A-L-E-Y. Brealey. I'm going to turn your Google skills over on that one. The name I saw come up most often from listener contributions on this one was Janine Garofalo.
I
mean... It doesn't. I'm thinking now that she's too old, but yeah, if you were to do it,
right? If you go back to like Mystery Men,
I don't know. I think that she's she doesn't have that lovable quality that Ingrid Oliver brings to her.
She is not a sweet, lovable person.
No,
the way that she likes to
like she can be the off kilter and kind of social outcast kind of thing that you would expect an uber nerd like Osgood to be.
Yeah,
but she doesn't have that lovable quality that Osgood really has. So I don't know.
Well, I will actually give credit. We had a couple of folks that actually shared my thoughts on this for Ugly Betty, America Ferrera.
Okay.
Because she definitely has that. She's age appropriate because she's about 30. She's early 30s. Mm-hmm. She has that kind of geek charm. She's beautiful, but she can play really nerdy and really kind of convey that stereotypical look if you really wanted to, as she was able to do in a couple of things, both in she did in Ugly Betty, she did in Sisterhood of Traveling Pants, and all those kind of things. So that's kind of that was her shtick for a while. To Ian, I had to throw out Colby Smulders because she's way too Canadian.
No, that's just because you've seen her in. How I Met Your Mother. She's not actually that Canadian outside of that show.
But no, that's true. She also showed up in, they used her, she plays very American. Isn't she,
Maria Hill.
Maria Hill, but she's also in the Series of Unfortunate Events as one of the, as the mother figure. They never really give her a name, but she's there
except
with,
mother.
Lego God.
Batman.
Yeah, with Will Arnett. Yes. And they're freaking awesome together. Okay, now things unravel very quickly. Strax, Haley, who are you seeing as our favorite little potato?
I kicked this one around for a while. I settled on Richard Speight Jr., who played Loki on Supernatural.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, and I think Jeannie chimed in with you on that and came up with the same one. Okay, and I'll just... Jay, before I get to you on this one, I had to throw out a few that from our listeners, and actually Ian ruled himself out because he suggested Warwick Davis and realized he's about as British as they come, so that doesn't work.
Also way too big.
Warwick Davis?
Way too big of an actor, yes.
Oh, too... Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
To be an insensitive jerk here.
Oh, my... The air is thin up here, I'm sorry. Okay. All right, Jay, who'd you have for this one?
All right. I decided to take a left turn on this, and not because I think that he's going to be able to do a spot on Strax, but because I think that he could be an interesting American take on it.
Okay.
Wentworth Miller.
Wow. Okay. He'd definitely get the kind of the militant side. He'd be a good Centauran, hands down.
And he can be funny when he tries to. Like, he can bring the funny. He just typically doesn't in the roles he's been given.
Yes. Plus, he's got that speaking voice that would just be interesting to have.
Exactly.
Here are some of the contributions that listeners put in. And they go from the okay to the what? Jason, my brother-in-law, suggested Wallace Shawn. Inconceivable. Wallace Shawn. Okay. Christian Clemenson. I'll give that to Mike for his suggestion. Bert suggested H. John Benjamin. Okay, if you were going by speaking voice, but if you look at Benjamin. He has a face for voiceover.
Good thing they're going to put him in 5 feet of, like, whatever foam he'd material
be easy
that...
He'd be easy to turn into a potato.
Exactly. Joel on Facebook suggested Drew Carey. I don't know. Maybe
that's like Q-list at this point, I think.
It would have to be Drew Carey from about, you know, late 90s. And then here's what Taylor on Twitter, you insane, twisted person, suggested Gary Busey.
Oh my God.
the entire cast would be slaughtered and eaten by the end of filming. Okay. I had originally thought Danny DeVito, and I'm still going to stand by that to a certain degree, but running a close second, not present day, you'd have to go back a few years, Curtis Armstrong, Booger.
Oh my God.
From Revenge of the Nerds. Or you may know him as the Metatron from Supernatural.
Yep.
Or from Moonlighting, or anything else you want to take.
He was a close second for me on Strax.
Okay, cool. All right, so I'm not completely off base on this. All right. Joe Grant, who could possibly replace our most beloved Katie Manning?
And Candace remember, McClure.
And this was the thing I struggled with, because there were all these ones that I wanted, knowing what I wanted to honor the character. But this is, we're doing this in order to be nearly insulting, almost intentionally, because this is an American production company that's trying to say, oh, well, we can find somebody who looks and sounds like her. We got it. Bafo. It'll be fantastic. You'll love it. So, Haley, who'd you come up with this one?
Candace McClure. Yep.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's, well, to kind of play the, it comes off as vapid, but really isn't. Okay. All right. Jay, who'd you get for Joe Grant?
All right. My original casting was Amy Poehler, but seeing as you've already thrown that out earlier.
Yeah.
I had to go for someone else. And I think that Jennifer Tilly could play Joe.
Oh, could you handle that voice for an entire episode? I don't know. Some of our listener contributions, I'll throw these out here first. Taylor suggested Tara Reid. I don't, yeah, she's about, I don't know if there are enough letters in the alphabet to say how far down on the on list scale Miss Reid is at this point.
She's at least W.
Mike suggested Ellen Wong. I thought that'd be kind of a cool casting. Elizabeth Banks has been thrown out there. Helen on Facebook suggested Katie McKinnon. If there is anybody who is riding A-list right now, it is Katie McKinnon. So I'd have to unfortunately rule her out, although she could probably kill any role we handed her off this list.
Yeah, I mean, it's just give her all the roles.
Yeah, I went with this, and just hear me out on this, because I'm not going present day, although Haley will immediately, her brain will go present day, but I'm going back about 20 years with Calista Flockhart.
Okay. So Supergirl now. So.
Right. So you need to think back to when she premiered.
Ally McBeal.
So, I mean, as far as the kind of impression I first got from her from Ally McBeal. Mm. Is the one who everybody was treating her as being a lot less capable than she really was. And she's like a little, you know, diminutive character, but she had a hell of a lot more brains than people was giving her credit for. So that was the kind of take. But that's going back to 2000. So, yeah. Which would put her about at that point. Kat Dennings, a couple of other suggestions. Kaylee Cuoco.
From Big Bang
Cuoco, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
You couldn't even pronounce her name right. You can't argue that she's A-list.
Nope. No, I'm just saying, as a Joe Grant, you know?
I could see that.
Is that Penny?
Yeah.
Yeah. I could.
No way. Nope, not happening.
I could see an awful American takeoff trying that.
Inspector Spacetime, yes.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so now here's where things fall off the rails really quickly. When we get to replacing Tom Baker as a fourth doctor. Haley, I'm going to give you a first crack at this.
I went with Mark Pellegrino.
Oh, okay, cool. I hadn't even considered. I could see how an American audience would try to draw the same kind of persona from that. All right, cool. No, I'm good with that. Jay, what did you land on for Baker's replacement?
I don't care how many people actually know his name. He is inherently a B-list actor. Bruce Campbell.
As the fourth?
Yeah.
As fourth, yeah.
I will give you that he is not A-list. He is a cult followed actor.
I will mention, by the way, that Bruce Campbell came up on Jan's list from Facebook as a replacement for the Brig.
Oh, God.
I'm just going to put that out there. Can you imagine him trying to be all official in his uniform and everything? I'm an American military representative. Oh, Some of our other contributions here. I'll get to mine, and then I'll let you know how far things fell off the list here. My first one, and I think I may stick with this one because I like it so much, is John DeLancey, Q, from Next Gen.
Oh, jeez, yes.
Wouldn't that be cool? But then I thought about it, and then Julie looked at me, and she's like, how come you're not considering Christopher Lloyd?
Oh, wow.
I said, I don't know. I don't know why I'm not considering Christopher Lloyd.
I think he's too
Lloyd.
Big of an actor.
He's still A-list.
No.
People still know him as A-list.
And we had this argument upstairs about 2 hours ago. has he done since, like, a guest appearance on Fringe?
I don't know. I just think he's, like, too ingrained as Doc Brown.
You can be a household name and still be B-list. That's, Bruce Campbell is a household name.
Yeah, I mean, he's still
got to make
the money.
And is he's carved in
marble. I'll let you have it with an asterisk.
Okay.
All right. Real quick, I've got to go. So you want me to shoot off the rest of mine?
Yes. So, all right, here's Haley's choice for the Brig.
Michael Hogan.
Ooh. He's not likable enough.
He can totally be likable.
All right. Donna Noble.
Allison Janney.
Ooh. Dig it. I like that a lot. All right.
Yep.
And rounding it out, because she only knows very little of him, the Sixth Doctor.
So I just decided the CW was casting this one and went with Luke Mitchell.
Absolutely. Just make him take his shirt off all the time. I don't know.
Based on nothing, it's an American CW production. They got Luke Mitchell. Because I don't think I've seen a single episode that was Colin Baker.
Vengeance on Veros is going to take on a wholly different feel to it. Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
okay. Haley's got to run. We bid her the best. Jay and I are going to go through the rest of this horror show that his suggestions here.
Yep.
We'll see you next week, Haley. Okay.
Okay.
Going back to our Fourth Doctor discussion, some of our contributions. I don't know where these came from. Ian suggested a pretty good one, but I do not think I would consider him B-list, even at the end of his career, was Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah, no. He was A-list from the get-go.
Yeah. I will give credit to Genie for this one, for suggesting Stephen Tobolowsky. Ned! Oh. Ned Ryerson! Ned. Oh, just for sheer fun factor.
Yeah, that could be fun.
He'd be good for about 2 episodes. And then you just want to kill him off.
It's like, dear God, is it time to regenerate yet?
Mm-hmm. Taylor, again, I don't know what you were thinking when you tweeted us this. Pauly Shore. Wow.
Because of the hair.
Okay. Jan suggested, by way of Facebook, Tony Shalhoub.
Okay. I could see
cool
that, actually.
That.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of price tag Tony be asking for these days. You know, he may...
I don't know. It's a good bit. It's a bit after Monk and Galaxy Quest, so he might be needing something.
That's true. All right, so we're getting to the Brig.
All right.
I like my suggestion, but in fact, I even have a backup that I like almost as much. But I'll give you this one first, Jay. Go ahead.
Okay, so my original casting, and I automatically have to disqualify it because he was actually born in the Netherlands. So not an American actor, but Rutger Hauer, I think, would have been a brilliant Brigadier.
Do you think he has the general likability? Because the Brig gets really endearing.
Yes, I do.
Give me a role with Rutger Hauer where you just say, I love that guy.
I cannot remember the name of his... No.
Because he's scary.
I cannot remember the name of his character in the movie because it's been a while since I've watched it. But Lady Hawk.
Okay. Well, I'd have to go back and watch it again and see how it plays through.
He was enjoyable in Lady Hawk. But so because he doesn't count anyway... I'm going to one up Katie's Michael Hogan for the Brig and go Edward James Olmos.
As the Brig? Wow.
As the Brig.
Imagine those times when the Doctor and the Brig aren't getting along.
You would fear for his life.
Oh my God. A forced regeneration right there. I will give so much credit to Mike on this one because it hadn't occurred to me even after being such a Fringe fan that I am and now I'm watching The Wire. I hadn't considered this. Lance Reddick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, he's, and that actually, it ties in really well to who my number one choice was, which was Mitch Pileggi. So Skinner from the X-Files. You know, he's the figure of authority. He's on your side, but he still has to be a company man at the end of the day. And that's totally Lance Reddick, too, in everything I've seen him in. So that's a phenomenal choice right there, too.
I could see that,
We've had some other suggestions. Joel, I'm sorry. I have to rule out Vincent D'Onofrio because he's freaking expensive.
Now he is.
Yeah.
If we're going period accurate.
Okay. If you want to go back to like Adventures in Babysitting when he was playing a young Thor, sure. we had Hal Holbrook, Ian suggested. Ken Marino, Bert threw out there as an option. Taylor went with Danny Glover, and I thought about that one for a while. Can you imagine the Brig saying, I'm too old for this?
I don't know. That it would be an interesting take. Like, I mean, because you have to, again, qualifying this as an American spinoff.
Yeah.
That could work. Yeah, I think that might work.
I think it'd be fun. Here was my backup. Jonathan Frakes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Riker as the Brig.
I wouldn't be able to take him seriously if he weren't in the Captain Morgan pose, though. He's got to do the Riker lean.
Yeah, well, he loses all authority.
He'd lose all authority if he didn't have the beard, like the full beard. He couldn't do just the stash.
Okay. Donna Noble. I'm really liking my suggestion on this one because I really, as soon as it occurred to me, because I went through a few, and here's the thing we have to be mindful of, because Donna is so near and dear to us. Mm-hmm. There is her lovability, there is her devotion, there is her irritability and how quick to anger she may be. There is her comedic timing because, come on, Catherine Tate. And then there is her likelihood to just jump into the thick of things because she feels there's a moral imperative there as well. So she's a very complex character. Whether or not an American production house on a budget would even care about any of that and just say, give me a redhead to stick in the role, bang. And just right off the top, by the way, Jeannie, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to rule out Rose Byrne because she's Aussie. So, sorry. We've got some good listener suggestions, but Jay, who have you got for this one?
All right, I'm going to argue for B-list status based on time period of casting.
Okay.
I'm going with Amy Schumer.
Oh, yeah, I can see why grabbing it at the right time. So this would be, you were saying if you were going for Amy Schumer around...
Around the time that Catherine Tate was originally cast as Donna at the end of season two, or one.
Hmm.
Or no, it was two. Yeah, end of season.
Yeah, that might fit. We had some interesting... suggestions from the listeners, everything from Constance Zimmer to Judy Reyes, if you remember her as the nurse in Scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
She could have been kind of fun. Ian, I'll give you a lot of credit on this one, Ian, for the idea of Leslie Jones. So think the Ghostbusters reboot. From the Ghostbusters reboot?
Didn't see it.
I also have, I'm not really sure about this one. Ellie Kemper was suggested, but I'm not really sure if I'm seeing the right persona match on that one. So Taylor, you have to help me out on that one. So if you're listening, you know, give me some steerage on that one. And I have to agree with Bert because this was my runner up on Molly Shannon. So
okay,
yeah, I don't know how forceful she can be. She's got the comedic chops for certain, and she's willing to get out there and like get, you know, be really action oriented. But I don't know if she can really kind of cut at you.
I think she could pull everything off except for the moments when she becomes truly likable and endearing.
Oh, I don't know. The likability I get. It's the irascibility I'm not sure about.
No, I mean personally. I mean the moments where she can go from completely brash and just completely obnoxious to 5 minutes later turning things. I mean, think about having Molly Shannon at the end of the Library two-parter.
Okay.
I can't see her pulling off that kind of vulnerability the way that Donna Noble or the way that Catherine Tate could.
Okay. Valid point.
But again, if we're going for American take on it, then yeah, probably that's, yeah, I could see that one.
I need to just double check here because I didn't think to look because I get so confused sometimes about whether or not actors are American because we seem to farm everybody out. So let me just check and make sure that she's
Britain
legit.
Has 12 actors. We have 8,000 because they're all from other countries.
Whoop, nope, I made it. I'm good. So I went with Lauren Ambrose from 6 Feet Under, if you remember her as Claire Fisher. Yeah. The reason why I chose her wasn't just because, oh, well, she's a redhead, I got it. But she has the forcefulness. And if you got a chance to see her when she appeared in the X-Files little miniseries they did, she's got good comedic chops as well. She played sort of the replacement Scully, and it was all very kind of tongue-in-cheek, the way that she was playing. She was like the not-quite Scully. She definitely has that as well. And she's done comedies too, like Can't Hardly Wait and stuff like that. If you want to, you know, trace it back far enough, but that was my go with it. And then we're closing up with one of the most interesting characters as far as archetypes.
Wait, can I throw one runner up out for Donna?
Oh yeah.
So I was thinking redhead originally before I started thinking comedian. And the first one that I could think of that I would love to see try and take on, because she is a tremendous actor, and I would love to see her try and take on something so abrasive, is Molly Quinn, the daughter from Castle.
Oh, well, you see, I guess I only watched like the first couple seasons of Castle, so I didn't really see as she, at the time she was what, like 15, 16 or so?
No, her character in that show pretty much stayed consistent.
Okay.
But seeing her in other things like Avalon High or Hansel and Gretel Get Baked, she's able to carry some. I mean, she's able to work her range.
Okay.
So
I'd have to dig a little farther with it. By the way, backing up, I know we had suggested Felicia Day a while back for who are we considering Felicia for?
Sarah Jane, I think.
Particularly for Sarah Jane, personally. And this just popped into my head a little earlier tonight. Felicia Day would be a phenomenal Liz Shaw.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's very true.
The brains, the strength, so we're talking about honorary mentions. I had a couple here that I had to write down because as I was going through various actors, I thought, oh, God, well, you know, we didn't put them on a list of characters, but it would work as. So that would be my Liz Shaw. The honorary monk, Will Wheaton.
Oh, God.
Because you're never going to cast him as a completely likable character. He has to have some dickishness to him.
Yes.
And talk about himself incessantly.
Which is why he was actually one of my front runners for 6.
I don't like that. All right, so we'll get to that in one sec, because I'm loving my character, my casting for 6. I have a runner-up to who I kind of dig too. But an honorary master, and I'm going back. We're talking like a Roger Delgado era master. I don't know if you recognize the name, Ray Wise. Did you ever see the series Reaper?
No.
Kevin Smith series Reaper. If you look him up, you'll recognize him right away. Ray Wise, just W-I-S-E. He played the devil in this series Reaper.
Oh, and God. Okay, that guy.
That guy.
We're running into a lot of that this time.
So just put a Van Dyke beard on him.
Dear God, yes.
And he'd be like an orange master. All right. So going back to the Sixth Doctor. Jay, so what are we going to do with Colin Baker here?
All right. So like I said, you know, Will Wheaton was up there because he, like you said, he's got to have that dickish quality. But I don't see him being able to cut people the way that Six was able to. Mm. Like, he can be unlikable, but he's not as, like, I don't know, he can be kind of abrasive, but not completely unlikable or whatever. There was a quality that was missing there.
Okay.
So the one I wound up going with is Michael Sheen.
Okay.
Because think about just his role in Tron. Think about him insulting people.
Yeah. All right.
Which, okay.
I'm digging that.
Actually, as brilliant as that is, now that I'm looking at it, I have to actually disqualify that because he's actually a Brit. God. He was born in Newport. What do you know?
All right.
So back to Will Wheaton then, I guess.
It can't be as bad as some of the suggestions we've received. We had a couple good ones and a couple ones where I'm still scratching my head here. So Taylor, you can just take Carrot Top and just...
Oh, geez. Just,
the door is that way. Just go. I will give Mike Sulko credit for Robert Englund. would be kind of cool.
That would be.
Although he has to have, under the surface, under all of that, you really kind of have to love the sheer braggadociousness of where the ego of Six is coming from. And Robert Englund can be scary.
Yeah.
Bert suggested David Hyde Pierce as as just having that kind of that unabashed ego. But I will leapfrog off that and say, here's where I went, because I think it would be even more of a match to it within that vein, is Kelsey Grammer. That was my take on it.
Okay.
So Frasier as the
Frasier as a front runner for arrogant people with, you know,
exactly
brilliant kind of insults.
Kind of know it all, you know, kind of, you know, browbeats people with excessive vocabulary and such.
Yeah.
Julie suggested Saul Rubinek from Warehouse 13.
Okay.
And I thought that was kind of an interesting, because, you know, there's a heart to it. I mean, he had a lot, you know, lot of heart. But he could tear at people when he needed to. We had both Ian and Jason suggested John Lithgow.
Oh wow, that would be that would be infuriating for all the right reasons.
Yeah, exactly. It makes me kind of want to go back and watch, you know, just those Third Rock episodes where he, you know, really got where his character kind of slipped a bit. And yeah, and then Joel, you're going to have to help me out on your suggestion for Matthew Perry. I'm not seeing a match on that one. I don't know where that comes from. Other than if you're just trying to say, well, if you're talking C, D, E list, if you just want somebody who's desperate for work, I guess you could go with Matthew Perry.
Well, see, one of the other thoughts that I had about Six, and I had to throw him out because he's actually Australian, but we've actually talked about him as the Doctor in our other, like, you know, dream casting or just possible thing, is John Noble.
Yes. Okay. Well, we had this conversation tonight, actually. And we didn't really know, because we had considered him for actually a couple of different characters. You know, we thought I was considering him for Fourth Doctor.
Okay.
But I don't really know where that conversation really led to about the nature of whether or not he's, you know, I don't know if you'd call him kind of B-list, because he's, you know, anybody who's done Lord of the Rings, you know, and so forth. And he was the one of the leads in Fringe. And I don't know. Maybe he does kind of qualify. It's possible. Hey, I considered for a split second, I considered Shatner for the Sixth Doctor.
Oh, jeez. You could never get to his insults because we'd run out of time.
Oh my God. Perry would have died of old age for him to finish the end of one of his diatribes.
Oh
well. So I love games like this because this really, not only does it get everybody kind of involved on it, but you get some good head scratchers as well as ones that really make it say, oh God, I hadn't even considered that. So we'll definitely play some variations on this down the road. Not as often as we always would, because we are five, six weeks away from series 10. So we're going to start devoting some of our upcoming episodes to doing the kind of the recap of here's everything we know so far, you know, writers, directors, episode titles, maybe synopses if we have them. But we'll get to that good stuff. But let's do a little bit of a, I do want to just take a moment to just throw one thing out here. So we have, we're in the thick of our con season. Galley 1 is always the kickoff to our convention season, is kind of as we recognize it within the Whovian scope. So the next installment, the next stop along the way, is Regeneration Who, which happens in downtown Baltimore. We're going to be there in 2 weeks. So we've got some panels on the docket. We're going to have some amazing talent around us. Terry Malloy will be there. Nick Briggs and Jason Hay-Gallery from Big Finish will be there. Jenna Coleman will grace us with her presence. Always nice to kind of hang around with Jenna again. And a myriad. Nev Campbell, Katrin Stewart will be there. We're going to have a phenomenal time. So if you are in the on the East Coast, if you are anywhere within the Baltimore to DC to Jersey, anywhere in that area, central eastern seaboard, please make a point of joining us there. We will have a blast. It's a new venue this year. It's a much bigger hotel. and convention center where we're holding it. Vendors have been doubled in size. So, well, they personally have not been doubled, the room for vendors. Giant fat vendors everywhere, as far as you can see. Big, huge, bushy vendors. But yes, please do. Oni and Jack hold a phenomenal convention. And this is only their third year, and it's massive. So another great Whovian convention success story, and we hope that you join us there. But let's get into some hypothetical, far-flung news.
Sounds good.
I don't even know where to go with this stuff. I was hoping that we would have some like real meat and potatoes kind of news items to discuss as we're closing in on the start of Series 10 and the broadcast of class here in the States. But what have we got?
Oh, we've got a lot more hypothetical, possible who's going to be cast as the Doctor.
Sure. I'm officially announcing that if approached, I will accept the role. So you can feel free to start, you know, writing all those articles now about me. It's fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've got headshots available if you need them.
So the first news article that we've got is that the bookies have actually they've been forced to stop people from betting on Chris Marshall as taking over the Doctor.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Why does this sound like it's just a very calculated press release?
I don't know, because I seriously think these were written like at the point that Capaldi was announced for the Doctor, and they're just bringing them out now because they don't have anything new to say.
Yeah, I don't really understand. I mean, because of the huge number of people backing Chris Marshall as the next Doctor, bookies are forced to halt taking bets on it. This sounds like complete crap. I'm sorry, it just sounds like absolute garbage. This goes along with people going to press junkets that are being asked things about. Oh, you know, how were craft services when you were on location at the set? You know, the sandwiches were fine. By the way, if I was asked to play Doctor Who, I probably would have to decline the role because I'm very, very far too busy now. You know, as much as they want me for Doctor Who, so
yeah, yeah. It almost seems like he went to the Daily Mail and said, "Hey, I will pay you X amount of dollars to write something saying that you're like it's." I'm not actually casting any aspersions on somebody that, you know, not claiming anyone would actually be that devious to do that. But that's almost the way this sounds. Is that like his agent was like, hey, here's an extra $100 if you throw out an article saying that he's got so much backing just to get his name out there.
Right. The same kind of goes with this article regarding these rumors and literally how easy it is to get the rumor mill grinding. On any given name, and that happened to go around this time for the idea of if anybody's familiar with BBC's Newsnight, and they decided as a result of something that was running towards the end of one of their broadcasts a little earlier in February, had all the official doctors in them, but there were a few unofficial doctors included in there. And as a result, it ends up getting people talking about names like Tom Ellis. So they consider, it's a pretty good choice, you know, riding a popularity wave with Lucifer right now, but had never been considered. But because of the fact that Newsnight used this clip from Lucifer in this weird little montage they put together, now it's got people saying, well, what if they're hinting to something, and they're doing this as sort of an inside track from the BBC indicating that they've already done the casting, even though Chibnall has come out and said, I haven't started doing any screen tests with anyone. So
yeah.
The last little piece we'll throw in here, though, is just one that we will mention, because whether or not it has any credibility, it's kind of a cool idea.
We are in full support of this.
Yeah.
So if anyone has ever had the thought while watching Buffy, you know what? Giles would make a good doctor. Well, we've got the article for you here.
Yeah.
Anthony Stewart Head has been reported or the, yeah, he said he wouldn't say no to being the new Doctor. So again, one of these, like, if you're going to ask somebody a leading question like that, of course they're going to say, but I mean, it's fun to play with.
Well, sure. I just don't know if it warrants, unless you're Anthony Stewart Head, I don't know if a lot of these Q&As actually warrant the kind of the headlines that make the buzz.
Mm-hmm.
This one in particular, though, is one where I've had a lot of people that have said, you know, I'm all in support of the time that it's time to start changing up a lot of this formulaic casting. You know, we need to start seeing a lot more diversity in the role. Oh, but Anthony Stewart Head? Yeah, okay. Yeah, maybe for at least for half a season. give him just a shot at it for a little while, and then we'll kill him off and bring her in, or what have you. So it's that'd be a fun little hypothesis. Fan fiction can run wild with that one, I suppose.
I do love the fact that when he asked, or when they asked him, his original quote was, "I don't know, no one's asked, but I wouldn't say no." And then he followed it up by saying, "Well, would anybody say no?" Like, of course you're going to say yes.
Nah, I'm too busy for that job.
Yeah.
I don't want to be immortalized.
Well, next week we will be returning to our classic rewatch. We're going to be taking a look at The Mind of Evil.
Yeah.
So we're getting the master back, another UNIT story.
Yeah, it's an interesting take with UNIT, because this time around, rather than sort of a military presence, they become almost kind of like diplomatic security. It's really kind of the UN part of the United Nations Intelligence Task Force. Mm-hmm. So it's early enough in the Master's introduction that it doesn't become kind of some of the formulaic stuff that we get from the Dr. Master through the Pertwee era as we close out this season. So there are some discussions as to whether or not the story suffers a little bit because the budget actually blew itself out, because they wanted a lot of like aerial photography from all of these helicopter shots and things.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, be the judge of it. See what you think of it. This is actually one where, as a result of it, the director, this was the last time he was allowed to direct because he was not able to keep the production in check. So just a lot of interesting, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff going on with this one. We'll see how much of it actually plays across the screen. And we'll see if Haley picks up on anything.
Yeah, but it'll be fun. But this has been episode 223 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, I seriously want to see the American version with Bernadette Peters playing the part of Nyssa.
Okay. All right, this is Gear saying, hey, just watch next season when we combine the TARDIS as the love boat, and Torchwood goes full Big Brother, and Class collaborates with 18 and Pregnant.
We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com. Tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio or on Facebook at facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.